book of 3 John. Going to do the book of 3 John tonight. And we see right in the first verse, John calls himself the elder. He wrote 1 and 2 John. And elder means a leader in a church, an authority. And he was one of the church leaders. And John writes in verse 1, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. He's one of the apostles of the church, the early church, and the writer of this book. In this little epistle, in this little letter, we're going to read about three men. There's three men that we're going to read about. Gaius, Diotrephes, and Demetrius. So three people in this book, this little epistle of 3 John, and there's two of them that we want to be like, and there's one that we don't want to be like. And that's what John covers here. And first of all, he covers Gaius, verse 1. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. We get a little glimpse in this book of the way the early church was, the first century church, the characters in here. You see, the church is made up of people, and it's still made up of people. When we say the church, we're talking about people, not a building, not a denomination. People all over the world, born-again believers, the church. And the church is made up of people. And since it's made up of people, there's all different kinds of people in the church. And we make up the body of Christ. It's amazing how much patience God has with all the different kinds of people that come into the church from all walks of life. Can you imagine trying to put a company or something together with all kinds of people from all walks of life, from all backgrounds? And God says, here, you're one, and I'm the head. And we're going to read about three different people here. But the thing we want to be sure of as the body of Christ, no matter where we come from, who we are, we want to be good, godly examples in the world. We're different. We're in the world, but not of it. And John told us that in the first epistle. And so we want to be good examples. We want people to be able to share good words about us. As we studied in 1 and 2 John, his theme was love one another. That's the sign of a disciple. That's the sign of being born again. Loving one another. That's where we should be different. We're all, you know, and as we love one another and we go out into the world, we're to be examples. But we want to be good examples and not bad examples. We don't want to have people be able to say things against Jesus Christ because that's who we represent. So we want to be good examples of the Christian faith. And we don't want a bad report from other Christians or the world. We want to have a good report. In our text today, we read two good examples, one bad example. We want to imitate the good example and not the bad example. You see, the point is we follow Jesus, we serve Jesus, but it's good to have godly people to be a pattern of how we should live. That's the way Paul was, you know, in the first century. He was a godly pattern of how these new breed of people called Christians should live. Because these people are coming to Christ. It's brand new. What can we do? What can't we do? How should we live? And he says, here's the way it is. God spoke through him. We have the word of God, and we have examples. And people need good examples. Boy, today, do people need good examples? Good patterns, people with good character, moral, godly character. That speaks louder than words. And Paul had no problem putting himself up as an example. That's really putting yourself on the spot. You know, And when he says, look at how I do this, and this is the way you should do it. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. The book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Paul wrote in Philippians 3, verse 17, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. He said, there are people that are bad examples, but he says, I want you to look at me as how I walk. And that word walk means live. He says, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. We apostles, we first in the church, walk and have us as a pattern. And it's good to have good examples. Boy, you know, it's a lot easier to tell someone, do what I say, isn't it? Than it is to say, do what I do. And if you're going to tell your child how to live, the right way to raise them, as we studied Sunday, train them up in the way you should go. It's easy to say, well, do what I say. But what's really going to make the effect, and what's a little harder for us to say, is do as I do. Because that's putting ourselves on the line. We're accountable to God. And we should put ourselves out there and say, here's the pattern of the way God wants us to live. We want to be good examples. And he said in there, they're actually enemies of the cross. Philippians 4, just turn to Philippians 4 and verse 9. He writes here, the things which you learned and received. So he was teaching the people, and Paul planted many churches, and he taught the people. And he says, the things which you learned and you received from me and heard and saw in me. He didn't just say, the things which I told you I want you to do. He says, the things which you learned and received and heard and then saw in me, these do, as the God of peace will be with you. So he lived it. He walked the talk. You know, in Titus 2, verse 6 to 8, it talks about us being a pattern of good works. We have this pattern of good works. Somebody's always watching. Wherever you are, people are watching. And we need to be this pattern of good works. We don't want people to say, boy, you're sure different in church than you are here on the job. We want people saying that. We want people to say, you're the same everywhere you go. Uncompromising, standing strong in your faith, good moral character. People are watching. Young people are watching. They need good examples today. People that stand strong in the Lord. So today we have two good examples and one bad example. In the first verse he says, I'm writing to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. So he's saying, I love this guy. He's a good example. You notice he loves him in the truth. We went over that last week about loving in the truth. In other words, you truly love. It's so easy to say, I love you. But he says, I love you in the truth. He loves in truth. And in verse 2 of 3 John, we read, he says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. We see a couple of things here. Paul prays for Gaius, John prays for Gaius, that he'll prosper in all things and be in health. So he's apparently praying for his health. It's good to pray for your health, your physical health, where it'll be spiritually well and physically well. He says, I'm praying that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. So he was walking right with the Lord. He was prospering spiritually. He because I want you to prosper in all ways and in your health. See, just as your soul prospers, I want you to prosper, he says. And it's good to do that, to pray for yourself, for people to prosper in health. He was prospering spiritually. And then verse 3, he says, for I rejoiced greatly when brethren came, you know, when other believers came to me and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. So this man was walking right spiritually, and John was really excited that he was getting reports. He had some connection with Gaius. We don't know how, or if he was in the same church at the time, at one time, or had a part in leading him to the Lord, but he was greatly rejoicing when other believers came to John and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. You know, that's a blessing if people would come up to you and say, boy, this person that's a friend of yours, they really walk with the Lord. Or if people came up to me and said, boy, those people in your church, they really are strong in the Lord. They really walk in truth. They walk in the Lord. That's the best report card you can get, is that the people are walking in the truth. He says, I rejoiced when he testified in it that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. He had the truth in him, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But it was evident that he was a believer because he walked in the truth. He was different. That's great news to hear, that he walked the talk, Gaius also. He didn't just talk it. It says, but he walked in it. He lived it wherever he went. The scene is people are coming across John's path and telling him about Gaius, this great Christian brother. And he says, wow, that's neat. This guy really walks in the truth. And then he says in verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. When we've seen 1st and 2nd John, we see he calls a lot of believers children. He's an elder and he sort of feels like these are his children in the church. He's really endearing to them. And he says, there's no greater joy, no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth, that they're following the Lord, that they're obeying the Lord and walking truthfully. He didn't say, I have no greater joy than to hear my children have this great ministry. I have no greater joy than to hear these children did this great work. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children have this new house, or that they are rich or enjoying this life and are settled. He says, no. There is no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And as parents, when it relates now beyond the church to your family, there is absolutely no greater joy. We know it doesn't matter what they attain, what they get in life. What matters is that they walk in the Lord. No greater joy. I mean, you could ask any Christian parent that. It doesn't matter. That's why, as we shared Sunday about fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. We went over children and parents and all of that. We can't push children to be what we couldn't be and live our life through them, or to put pressure on them, or to say, you have to do this and you have to do that. All that we want to point them to is the Lord. And be spiritually strong. That's where the focus should be. Spiritually strong. And boy, there in the church, no greater joy than an elder or a pastor could hear than that these people are walking in the truth. And in a family, there is no greater joy than to hear that your children walk in truth. That's all they need. Because when a person is following the Lord, they'll be okay in life, whatever they do or wherever they go, because the Lord will be with them. We can't always be with them, but the Lord will always be with them. So if we can leave that with them, how wonderful that they're walking in the truth. You know, in Jesus, remember he gave the great commission in Matthew 28, go and preach the gospel. And then he said, teaching people to obey all that I have said. So we teach also. And that's what we do. We teach people and children and people in the church so that they can walk in the truth. And there's nothing better that they can attain in life than to walk in the truth. Now, some of the ways that Gaius walked in the truth, this true faith, this true love, we see in verse 5. John says, beloved, he writes to him, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. He says, you're a faithful servant. And you're faithful whatever you do for people in the church and for strangers, for Christian and for strangers. He says, you're faithful. In other words, he was hospitable. You know what Jesus said? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's how we know how to treat others. What you would want someone to do to you, do to them. And that's, he was hospitable. He faithfully did whatever he could do for other Christians and for strangers. He was faithful in his ministry. And to people he knew and the people he didn't know. He was faithful to do what the Lord would have him to do. In this day of Gaius, evangelists and preachers and all these people that God was raising up, they would travel. I mean, that's how the gospel got out and the word of God got out. They would travel and pass through towns and cities, and they would count on someone to take them in and keep them up and take care of all their needs so the Lord could use them there. Then they would move on. Today, we can put people up in a motel or a hotel when they come, and you know, and they're taken care of. But the point is, in his day, he was used to take care of them, and he gave them whatever they needed. And, you know, in Matthew 25, you know, when Jesus talked about those people that didn't do anything and those that did, he says, you know, when you visited them, you visited me. When you fed them, you fed me. When you gave them a cup of water, you gave it unto me. And he says, well, when did we ever see anyone like that? And he says, well, when you did it to them, you did it to me. Whatever we do to people, we're doing it to the Lord. Doesn't go unnoticed. So he was hospitable to people in the church and also strangers. And then in verse 6, who have borne witness of your love. And these people bore witness of your love before the church. They said, hey, this guy really loves. That's how he walked in the truth. And how it was visible who he was. He had love. And he was hospitable. It was borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you do well. You see, he says, you sent them, when they stayed with you, you then sent them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you do well. He took care of them, in other words. You know, he ministered to the church, these people, and these people that were passing through, and then he provided all they needed for them to pass on and go to the next place. He was concerned about getting the word of God out and took care of these people as they passed through. He would take care of them, send them off, in a manner worthy of God, it says. In other words, adequate supplies. Not only, oh, goodbye and God bless you, he provided for their needs. And he says, you do well. You do well, he says, because of verse 7, because they went forth for his namesake, for Jesus' namesake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. He said, that was good what you do, that you take care of them, so they can continue ministering, because they were going forward in Jesus' name to preach the gospel. And they took, and you took nothing, and they took nothing from the Gentiles, from the unbelievers. You see what's happening here? They're traveling for the Lord, they're preaching, they're ministering for the Lord, and they took nothing, It's good that Christians and this guy Gaius provided for them, because then they didn't have to take anything from unbelievers. See, they preached to the unbelievers, but they didn't take support from unbelievers. That's good. Because then people would say, well, you're doing it for money. It's up to the church to support the church so that unbelievers can be free to hear the message. They know, see, they didn't count on the world. And they counted on believers for support. They looked to the Lord to supply their needs, and they didn't want support from unbelievers. And so he says, that's good that you do that, Gaius, because then they don't have to take things from the world. God's people, he's saying, should support God's servants in work. That's how it gets out. And that's a testimony to the world. You see, we the church, all believers and churches, shouldn't be doing worldly fundraisers and taking things from the world to use for the Lord. That pattern was set right up in the beginning with Abraham, you know, where the king there wanted to give him all this stuff for helping him, you know, deliver back all his stuff in Sodom there. And he says, no. I don't want anything from you. I just did it. Because then he would say, I made Abraham rich. And he never wanted to be put in that position that somebody in the world made me rich. He always said, God did it. You see? And so he's saying here that you do it in a way you're taking nothing from the Gentiles. There shouldn't be these worldly fundraisers or soliciting funds from unsaved people or businesses. Shouldn't be begging help from the world. We should not get commercial. It should be from God and from God's people. Then we know what's God's will. That's how we know. We let God supply, and then the world can't say anything. Gaius was a faithful minister supporting the traveling preachers, and it's a benefit to supporting the Lord's work. God blesses us as we do. And he says in verse 8, we therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. We ought to receive such, just like Gaius, take care of people in the church so that you become a partaker in the ministry. See, that's how the church becomes one. Everyone counts. We all have a part. And you become fellow workers for the truth. And the ministry at this church and every church is your ministry. You see? Whatever fruit the church brings forth, it's fruit for everybody. Because the church supports it. The people support it. And so everybody's it's sort of like a partnership. And so when you get to heaven, you're going to have these rewards, and you're going to say, well, how did I get that? I didn't go out on the mission field or wasn't a great evangelist or do this or that. And the Lord's going to say, but you did it. You gave, or you helped, or you served. That's part of your ministry there. You're part of the church. We're all necessary, and we all have a part in the church, whether it's serving or giving or praying or whatever it is. Everybody's necessary. And so he says, you ought to receive such that we become fellow workers for the truth, so that you can partake of the ministry. So now we get into a bad example, verse 9. He says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. So there's this guy, and the word preeminence means basically proud. Now there's this leader down in this church that is very proud. He's the top dog and gets all the glory. He says, I wrote to the church, wrote this letter, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence, say he likes to be on the top, doesn't like me or anyone else being above him, among them, does not receive us. He did not receive this letter. He did not receive John. It seems he was a leader in the church at a certain place, but he didn't receive John's authority nor this letter. And John was an elder. He says, why? Why didn't he? Because he was proud and he loves to have the preeminence among the church. In other words, he's the boss And John or no apostle or anyone else is going to tell him anything. He rules. He's proud, a dictator, head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. The word pastor means servant. Maybe if we use the word bond servant or servant, there wouldn't be so many seeking to be a pastor if we use the right word here. It's a servant. It means servant. Serving the flock of God. They're his sheep. But he says, this guy loves to have the preeminence among them and does not receive us or any word from us or a letter from us. He's not hospitable. He doesn't do what you do, Gaius. He's not hospitable. He doesn't support others in the ministry. He doesn't want people under him to do it either. That's the bad part. He's teaching them wrong. He loves to have the preeminence among them and does not receive us. And in verse 10, he says, therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds. I'm going to tell him about what he's doing, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. This guy is really controlling. It's hard to believe he's the head of a church because he doesn't receive me or any letters. But I'm going to take this up when I come because he's so proud and prating against us. He's talking maliciously against us. And he's not even content with putting us down. He himself doesn't receive other brethren coming in or passing through. He doesn't receive them or do what you do, like be hospitable to them and put them up and take care of them so they can continue God's work. And not only that, he forbids everybody in his church not to put them up either. Wow. And if they do, he puts them out of the church. That guy, you don't want to be that kind of example. You circle verse 10 here, say, never do that. You know, he says, okay, you're out of here because you're supporting those other people, you know. Wow. I would say he's not loving. You know, he's not a peacemaker but a divider. He's lording it over people in the church rather than ministering to them. And he's not content with that. He kicks people out of the church. Verse 11. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil. Don't do that. That's evil. Do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God. He who does evil has not seen God. Those are good words. We don't ever want to imitate the world or evil. We want to imitate what is good. That's where we want to be. Imitating what is good. Might not be popular, but you'll be right. In God's eyes. And you know what he says here? Whoever does good is of God. You're a born-again Christian. You're of God. But he who does evil, they don't know God. He has not seen God. So we imitate what is good. Now we get into another, that's a bad example. And now we get into another good example here, verse 12, Demetrius. And he says, Demetrius has a good testimony from all. And from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. This guy, Demetrius, has a good testimony, a good report from everybody. No matter where he is, he has a good report. People think he's a godly man. And from the truth itself, he walks in the truth. And he says, I even myself, John, bear witness that, and you know I'm not a liar, that he is walking with the Lord and it's demonstrated to everybody. Verse 13, and I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Remember just how he finished the last letter too? In 2 John, he says, I got many more things to write to you, to text to you, to email to you. But you know what? I'd rather see you face to face and talk to you. Best way to talk to people. He says, I have many things to write to you, but I don't want to wish to write to you anymore with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly and we shall speak face to face on important issues. It's good to speak face to face. You don't want a one-way communication like in our electronic age. A person needs to be able to respond and communicate right away, back and forth. And you need to see where that person's at, and they need to see where you're at. Nothing like face-to-face communication. He saw that 2,000 years ago. He said, no, I want to do this face-to-face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Amen. So be a good example. Everybody's watching. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for your great love for us. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us this opportunity in this day and age to be out there in the world and let people see you through us. I pray we would be good examples, that people would see you through us. I pray we would be steadfast, not changing based on where we're at, but always doing good works, loving others as ourselves, loving you, and walking in truth. Lord, we need your strength to do it. Without you, we can do nothing. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Maybe there's something we're facing tomorrow or someone, and it might be difficult. I pray that we're able to represent you properly and that we shine for you and we're able to get victory, not only for ourselves, but bring peace to the other party. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.